This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get right to it. Joining us right now on the River Islands guest line, and remember, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's welcome in Ben Golliver of the Washington Post. He's their national NBA writer. He's also an author of Bubble Ball, and he hosts the Greatest of All Talk podcast with, he's a co-host there. Thank you, Ben, so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing well, and I understand you were at the Warriors-Clippers game on Monday, so you got a firsthand look at Golden State. And I guess the first question I'll ask is pretty much what I ask everybody who sees the Warriors for the first time or who has seen them a little bit this year. Can this 11 or 12-man rotation work for the regular season, the playoffs? Not at all. Is it sustainable?
Well, I definitely think it's sustainable, and it's something that can work during the regular season. We haven't really seen championship-level teams or contenders try to take that approach in the playoffs, and we've actually seen the Warriors kind of go the other way and tighten things up during their long postseason runs. But I'm glad you started with their depth and their approach there, because so much has been made over the last decade about the Warriors' influence on the NBA, and it always starts with the three-point shot. Steph Curry launches the three-point revolution. But this strength in numbers thing that they were dealing with 10 years ago has become cutting edge. It's the way that everybody's playing basketball to start this season. If you look at the best teams around the league, the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have former Warriors assistant Kenny Atkinson, they play a strength in numbers style. The Boston Celtics play a strength in numbers style. They got Peyton Pritchard, a leading sixth man of the year candidate, coming off the bench. In the Western Conference, even the younger teams, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Houston Rockets, those teams are kind of playing strength in numbers in terms of going deep into their bench. And I think a lot of it has to do with the salary cap stuff, right? You can't afford to have, you know, a big three gigantic contracts or trying to put together a super team with contracts and still fill out your bench and keep up in this fast paced, pace and space style that has really taken over the NBA. So I think the Warriors, their hot start, it's about the depth, but it's also about that smart planning. Cutting ties with Klay Thompson, getting a little bit more flexible there, letting Chris Paul go, getting more salary cap flexibility, and then just filling in with some veteran guys who aren't super expensive but who can give you minutes and can help carry you potentially to April and May and maybe even beyond if the Warriors get some good luck.
Yeah. Hey, Ben, you were at the game Monday at the Intuit Dome, and this was, I know every team's different, but this was the second time the Clippers had beaten the Warriors, this version of the Warriors. And, you know, they don't got a lot of superstars, but they got athletic. They're athletic. They got length. And I remember watching the Warriors against the Cavs. They had that, you know, similar length and athletic guys. Is there any thought that you had about maybe the Warriors moving forward when they face, you know, defenses with that ingredient, it might be cause for concern?
Oh, no question. Look, turnovers have been an issue for this group for a long time, probably as long as you guys have been talking about this era, right? And when you're undersized, that becomes a real problem. I mean, they were sloppy. They were careless. They didn't really seem completely locked in. And to go back to the earlier point about the depth, when Steph Curry was off the court, the guys who were stepping into that spot were not playing well, right? I mean, I think Pods, he's got to step up. I mean, I think he had a real tough night against the Los Angeles Clippers. He's got to get out of his head, play a little bit better. That would go a long way to kind of making a more stable in-game experience, I think, just for everybody. But Golden State's, they've beaten a really long and talented team in the finals not too long ago, the Boston Celtics. I don't think it has to be fatal, but I do think that they miss Kevon Looney in that particular game just because the Clippers have a big front line and They needed some bigger bodies, I think, to go back and forth with a player like Zubac. And then they got to clean the turnovers up. I think if they do those things, they're in good shape.
Ben Golliver joining us from the Washington Post. He's their national NBA writer. Let me ask you this about Jonathan Kuminga, Ben. Obviously, he didn't get his rookie extension, and he's headed toward restricted free agency. How do you think it plays out? Because you know how reluctant other teams are to do the Warriors or any teams negotiating for them. And then I believe if you do offer Kuminga a contract, another team, then you got to kind of wait for his answer. How do you see this playing out with Kuminga?
Well, when I saw some of the requests, I guess, from his side, or the reports about what he was looking for, I was just scratching my head saying, I don't know where that's coming from. Like, we're in totally different ballpark. So I imagine that's probably why he didn't get a deal done, because it seems to me like, perhaps his perception of his own value is a little bit different from what I would be looking at. If I'm trying to pay a young wing these days in the modern NBA, the checklist goes, can you shoot three-pointers at a high volume? Can you play make for your teammates, as a passer, as a drive and kick guy, as somebody who could set up, good offense? So do you have some touch and some feel to your game? Can you handle the basketball? And then can you defend multiple positions at a high level? And you go down that checklist with Kuminga, and how many things is he checking at this point, And it's not like he's still a rookie. I mean, this is year four. So I think he's a fine player. I don't want to be dismissive, but I think the Warriors would be fine without him, going forward into the future. Like, I don't think this is somebody that they have to get into a bidding war with. I don't think this is like a make or break type deal. I understand there's some internal pressure probably because, you wanted to have that youth movement, that two tracks model. And they don't really have very many of those young guys left after Wiseman goes and so forth. So if you're still clinging to that idea, you might be motivated to take care of him. But, to me, he just has not shown very much in his three-plus seasons. And I guess I'm still a skeptic. I don't know. Where do you guys stand?
Go ahead, Goo.
Well, I think it's there. I don't think this 11- or 12-man rotation helps him. And in that game Monday that you were at, I thought, like, man, they need him. And his number wasn't called. So I'm with you. I'm skeptical. But I just think when my coach says we're going to be a strength in numbers, that kind of is a handwriting on the wall. What do you say to that?
Yeah. No, it makes sense. Look, if somebody else wants to come in free agency and pay him like a star and make him a core piece and say, hey, we want to build around this young guy's physical talents. We really believe he can develop as a player. I think if you're Golden State, you say, we're already paying our stars, right? We're paying guys who have won championships. Who have been in that spot, and then maybe you're trying to work out a trade, or maybe you're just content to say, hey, it didn't quite work out here. That's how I would approach it. Obviously, Golden State is in a nice position because they've got some of the deepest pocketbooks in the NBA, and so if push comes to shove, they could probably make something happen if they wanted to. But I'm with you. He doesn't feel like a huge priority right now, and honestly, I don't think he's playing his way into being a priority for this group, right? Like, there's the minutes available. Yeah. Go earn them. And I'm just not really seeing it. I've never seen it with him, to be honest. This has been something I have been saying really since his rookie year.
Ben, I needed a bounce back year from Draymond Green. And my goodness, 47% from three, the individual defense, the team defense, and just the relentlessness out there. What have you seen from Draymond Green this season?
No, I like that phrase you use, bounce back, because, I mean, Draymond, he's like one of those guys, it's like you just want to quit him, man. Like, some of these low moments of these last couple of years, it's like, I can't deal with this anymore. Like, you're costing your team in big spots, enough with the technical fouls, enough with the flagrant fouls and the suspensions and all this stuff. But he has been an elite defensive player when he's been on the court, going on a full decade now. It's remarkable. His motor is still there. Shot blocking is there, and when they go to the smaller lineups, man, he contests a lot of shots around the basket. The energy level is always phenomenal. And then it's just pure IQ, and I think sometimes it gets overlooked because of the outbursts, or maybe people don't give him credit for his basketball IQ. I think he's got to be top three or four smartest players in the NBA, and has been for his entire prime. So the fact that he's still doing it is a big reason why the Warriors have been winning with defense to start this season. And I think it's a big reason why you've got to take them seriously again in the playoffs. I mean, we've seen him turn it on in playoff runs. I think the 22 run, there was still some hiccups. Like, it wasn't perfect every single night. Maybe a little bit of a slow start to the finals. But when he hit sixth gear, I mean, Boston had no answers. And as we've come to find out these last couple of years, that was a really good Boston team that Steph Curry dissected and that Draymond Green, I think, kind of pumped mentally, to be honest.
Yeah, Ben Golliver joining us on 95.7 The Game. He works for the Washington Post as their national NBA writer. Let me go back to Draymond for a second, but it's less about Draymond than Draymond and the NBA. So on Friday, obviously there was a play involving he and Zach Edey where he grabbed his leg. I think it was either not called or it was just a regular foul. They upgraded it to a flagrant one. Now, Taylor Jenkins obviously was lobbying for his team, but help me out here because the NBA recently has started, when they fine or suspend a player, they say we're taking into account now past actions. So if that's the case, if Draymond, can you suspend Draymond Green for one game if he's involved in an incident? Or would it be more than that because Draymond's got a history?
Well, I think in this scenario, they just decided that contact with Edey wasn't that severe, right?
Right.
I mean, they could have, if they had wanted to, I think that they could, suspend him in that situation if they had viewed that videotape and said, hey, yeah, like, we feel like this crossed the line. The referees just missed it. It's totally unsportsmanlike. We've got to throw the book at him. I mean, they came up with the indefinite suspension last year. Had anybody ever heard of that one before?
It's
we're sending Draymond to timeout. We don't know when he's coming back, right? So, I mean, clearly they could kind of do what they want when it comes to punishment and taking care of it. But, look, I don't like it when guys play around other guys' ankles or their knees when they're laying on the court like Sabonis was laying on the court. I think you should be a hardline league on that kind of contact. But with the Edey one, I understand why Memphis would make a big deal about it because there's been, some bad blood between those two teams over the years, and so I get, the campaigning that they did. I feel like it landed at a reasonable place. I didn't think this was the worst thing in the world, and I do think, though, they got to keep a close eye on Draymond Green, right? This is going to be a long season. It's going to get fierce. It's going to get, they're going to be fighting for playoff position for the next 4 or 5 months, right? So there's going to be a lot of heated moments, a lot of long road trips, a lot of late-game clutch situations. If he loses his cool, I think the Joe Dumars and the guys in the NBA league office need to be ready. That's their job.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben, a quick question here. The ratings are down. When you hear that, do you make a correlation between the load management? Because I don't know what to put my finger on it, and I love ball, and I don't like to hear it, but what comes to mind when you hear the NBA ratings are down?
Well, there's, I think, a lot of different things. Number one, we saw over the summer that people love the older stars. I mean, Steph, LeBron, KD just captivating the world, right? Like, just taking care of business over there in Paris. It was such an amazing summer of basketball to be over there in Paris and watch those guys do their thing. But we know fans love the latest and greatest, the new deal, right? And those guys have been, just dominating for so long. I think people are ready for some fresh blood. And you look at the next generation of stars, I mean, Jokic has been out for a week, no real explanation. Embiid shoving reporters, not really on the court, right? Giannis is struggling with his team, can't get them on track. And you go to the even younger generation, I think there's another thing going on, which is the dramatic rise in the three-point shot. If you look at Anthony Edwards, Victor Wembanyama, Jalen Green, I mean, a number of these guys are very high draft picks. LaMelo Ball, Brandon Miller, these are like top three picks from, say, the last 4 or 5 years of draft classes, right? So these are the future faces of the NBA. Well, a lot of those guys are out there shooting 8, 9, 10, 11, even 12 three-pointers a night, and I think some fans like it, some fans don't. I mean, these guys don't shoot it like Steph Curry, right?
Right.
Like, it's not as entertaining, as exciting as Steph Curry, so I think it gets to be a little bit repetitive, and I think that might turn some people off. And then some of the other guys who I think could have been big ratings drivers like Zion, Ja Morant, those guys are out injured. I think that's a factor as well. And I think the NBA is in a spot where, look, it's a superstar league. So if it's load management, if it's injuries, if guys are just, shooting a lot of three.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Reason some fans don't like it, I think you add all those things up and not really having that person to take the baton from LeBron, Steph, and KD. I think those are some of the reasons why maybe there's a little bit of a lull right now. But I would just encourage people, and I'm sure you guys have been watching these games. The games are competitive to start the season. Whether it's the NBA Cup or otherwise, we're not getting so many of those 30-point blowouts that we were seeing these last couple of years. I think the defensive intensity in a lot of cases is back. Even though the scoring figures are inflated, I think defenses are adjusting a little bit, and you're getting a lot of really tense late-game situations. I mean, a team like the Bucks, every night it goes down to the final possession, it feels like, right? A team like the Pistons, they've been completely irrelevant for years. They've been playing some just crazy games, going to overtime, last-second shots. I mean, even some of these teams that, we look at the standings and say they're kind of also-rans, have been really providing an entertainment value. And so I do think it's important for media guys like us. Look, I understand the ratings might be down, but it's worth watching. This is a good product, and there's definitely been a worse product here, I think, at other times over these last couple of years. I think they've got a better balance between offense and defense this year. And I think you've got a really competitive race, especially in the Western Conference. Like, almost any of these teams could make the playoffs. It's really, really crazy, the depth of talent in the West.
Washington Post national NBA writer Ben Golliver joining us on 95.7 The Game. I'll get you out of here on this one, Ben, because you cover the league as a whole. The Warriors, obviously, in the offseason went after Paul George, and they had interest in Lauri Markkanen, and they're talking about if a big boy comes available, they think they can make a splash. Where are we with Joel Embiid and the value he may have around the league? And then what do you think is going on with Giannis?
Well, I don't know if you're looking at it from this from a Warriors perspective, but I mean, stay away. Not getting Paul George was the best thing that ever happened to the Golden State Warriors this summer. That's a huge contract. Look at what he's doing in year one. This was the year the contract was supposed to be good value, right? Because he's getting older and older and declining. He's not contributing to wins. They're one of the worst teams in the league. He's not providing a leadership presence on that group because he's the new guy. And he's really never had that role, during his prime years. Look, you didn't miss anything there. Now, in terms of Joel Embiid, he just signed a massive contract. He had huge injury red flags. You're seeing reports this week about commitment issues and is he bought in and all that. That's just a player who you're not going to trade him at the lowest point of his trade value, right? And this earlier in his contract, I mean, I just don't think you're going to get anything close to equal value. I think if you're Philadelphia, you're just stuck and you're going to have to ride these guys out for the next couple of years, even if it means a lot of losses. Now, with Giannis, I think the ball's a little bit more in his court, right? Because he's out there playing every single night. He's putting up monster numbers. He said for years he wants to compete for a championship, and the Milwaukee Bucks do not have a championship roster around him, not even close. I mean, he's been, arguably, numbers-wise, an MVP-type candidate, and these guys are way below 500, and they have one of the worst clutch offenses in the NBA because nobody on the team can even hit a shot. So that's one where I do think you have to circle. Now, is he going to want to, uproot his life with a midseason trade request? Is he willing to wait to the summer? Is he going to give it a chance for some of these guys to get back healthy? I mean, Giannis has never been, super proactive. This is not Kevin Durant in Brooklyn, right, where he's just trying to get out by any means necessary, or Kyrie Irving trying to get out by any means necessary. But I think if you're circling the next big star who could change teams, I think Giannis is the most obvious candidate at this point. And that's not to take anything away from his loyalty. It's not to put the Bucks down as an organization. It's just to say this is the end of the road. I mean, they're too old. They're not deep enough. They don't have very much continuity. Giannis and Dame do not make each other better. Doc Rivers' record since taking over has just been absolutely abysmal. It just feels like too much negative inertia for one superstar to overcome. You start to imagine him in some other locations. I mean, I'm sure he would love to play with the spacing that the Warriors have, right? I'm sure he'd love to play with the young athletes that are down on the Houston Rockets, right? You can imagine some of these scenarios that would be better for Giannis to spend his next chapter, and I think he's getting to that point of his career.
Ben, thank you so much for joining us. Really great NBA discussion. We appreciate your time.
All right, guys, take care.
Yes, sir. That's Ben Golliver, Washington Post. He's their national NBA writer. He's also an author of Bubble Ball. That was about the NBA season in the bubble. And he's a co-host of the Greatest of All Talk podcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.